Hi, this is Zach Exec, and you are listening to Guildcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to this 90th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and we have something we haven't done in quite a while, which is an email show with Lady Sinea.
Hello.
And there she is, the star herself, Lady Sinea.
Thank you.
So how are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too shabby. I think that should be one of those titles for the Asurin line, not too shabby.
Not too shabby, yeah. You're getting ready to take a trip?
Yes, tomorrow I'm getting on a plane and going 6,000 miles east.
Wow. It's only 6,000 miles? Wow.
Only. That's not that far. It's only 8 time zones.
Jeez. That's awesome. Well, I hope you have fun. I wish you the best of luck over there. Sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
It is. It's going to be lots of fun. Except for I have to see Cal, so that's not But other than that, it should be awesome. I should get a chance to meet Bard. Bard of Manpie?
Oh, cool.
So that'll be nice.
Are you guys having like any kind of a little informal get-together or anything?
Yeah, I posted it like on the forums just to say, hey, I'm going to be in the area if anyone wants to come like say hi and have a drink. Because I don't want to have like anything official. Because I don't know like what their laws are over there about like having like... underage people and stuff like that. So I just said, hey, if you want to get together, give me an email and say we can come say hi or something.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting to be experts at that, aren't we?
At what? Saying hi?
No. Having little informal get-togethers for Guildcast.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I've mastered the skill of saying hi a long time ago.
Good job.
Thank you.
So... We have quite a few emails, and I went through the last probably 2 months and just kind of picked some out. Some of them I've actually responded to, and some of them I haven't. Most of them I haven't. And, you know, just some emails that I thought we could read on the show that might be interesting for other listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've done that before. We just haven't done it in a long time. It's good to get on here and just do this once again. Well, I'll go ahead and read this first one then. It says, Sean, I started playing Guild Wars in July, so I'm relatively new to the game. I've really enjoyed the overall experience of this game at many levels. I love the artistic side of the game, the epic story-driven quests, and the music. In other words, I will be playing this game for a very long time. I would really like to hear a show discussing situational party builds. For example, let's say I want to go into Tomb of the Primeval Kings, and I'm an elementalist. How do I begin... in putting a party together? Do I need 2 tanks, 1 archer, 3 assassins, and a monk? What specific skills should I make sure my party has in their skill set to defeat a specific creature or boss? He says, better take out the archer and put in 1 more monk to keep the assassins alive. Oh, I didn't say it. I know there's a lot of gray area here, and there are many ways to get the job done. I would like just some general advice for specific areas. I love the challenge of Guild Wars, but every time I go into tombs with heroes and henchmen, my party gets crushed by the second room. Should I never use the henchmen? I hope you understand my thoughts here. I have listened to all your podcasts and don't recall any topic like this one before. Let me know what you think. Just a side note, I appreciate your time and effort in the podcasts. I especially enjoy the OMGRL podcast. I'm 35, happily married, and have 2 daughters, age 9 and 4, so I appreciate the perspective you and Jenna take on balancing family life and gaming life. The part about, well, first thing I wanted to say, the biggest glaring part of this that I wanted to mention was, yeah, don't bring henchmen in the Tomb of the Primeval Kings.
You can.
Well, you can, but.
You can bring a balanced build into tombs. I would recommend doing it in normal mode to get used to it.
Yeah.
But you can. You just have to, like, there's certain things that'll, like, wipe your party out, like the worm sieges.
Mm-hmm.
And the henchmen usually don't know to run out of the way or get out of range. So it's like you have to like concentrate on getting rid of those so that the henchmen don't get wiped out. But you can do it.
Wouldn't you rather bring heroes so then you could kind of set it up as a little bit better team build?
Yeah, I mean, when I say henchmen and heroes, I just mean non-player people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there are certain builds for that, and that's probably one of the best examples of something that you really need a really established build on your team. And, you know, if you use heroes, or say you use you and another person, and then both of your heroes, or you use just you and heroes and henchmen, you can do it, but you really have to plan it out, and you have to know what you're facing, and this is for anything, any boss you're going against, any area you're going against in PvE, you need to know what you're facing, so you need to try it out a few times first. You know, you see what kind of damage they do, what kind of conditions or hexes or, you know, all that stuff. And it just takes time and a lot of practice.
But what you can do is you can see, like, what types of creatures you're going to be encountering. Like, when I was used to Monk in Tombs, you would know that you come against Mesmer Driders and Elementalist Driders. So you know, like, what you're going to be facing. They would put on, like, empathy on our characters that were doing physical damage. You would want to have hex removal. It's just a good idea to know what is going to be coming up, and then you can plan for it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times these types of areas have people who have already done all this research and they've already figured out the best way to do it. And that's not to say that's the be all and end all, but it's at least a good starting point. And for Tombs, there's been the Barrage Pet thing that was going on for quite a while where mm-hmm. people figured out that was the best way to do it. And it worked out really well for quite a while.
Yeah. And, I went into Tombs for the first time in like months and months and months, just a few weeks ago. And everyone's doing it in hard mode now, and it's like a whole different ball game. I tried going in there with just like a straight heal build, like I used to, and there was no way. I had to bring some prot in order to negate the damage before it happened. Otherwise, we were just dead instantly.
Yeah.
And more people are using splinter barrage builds now.
Oh, okay.
So instead of being monk secondaries, they were going ritualist.
Oh, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't been in there in a long time. I need to do that. Yeah, and I guess the same goes, like I said, for other bosses. He asks about advice for other bosses and other challenges like that. And it's the same thing. You know, you just need to establish what you're up against and just try to figure out the best build for it. And a lot of times, I've never really been a big advocate of just, you know, using a cookie cutter build, but I've said it before on the show that it's just a good place to start. It's a good place to look to see why these are cookie cutter builds and why they're made like that. And then maybe you can, if you know the skills good enough, you know all the skills in the game, you can think, hey, maybe this will fit a little bit better in here. And, you know, you just kind of play around with it your own way.
Mm-hmm. And one of the big things too, especially if you're going after a specific boss, is to know what that boss is going to be using. So mm-hmm. you can go look up their name, and usually on the wiki it'll have their skills listed. So you know, like, oh, they're going to be using this to heal themselves. You can, like, bring an enchantment remover or whatever it is. Hey Sean, it's Lord Zaya here. Thinking about episode 85 and how Lady Sinea said about Guild Wars 2 spoiling the whole experience, I was thinking, okay, whatever. What would happen to PvP if there was no level cap? I mean, higher levels would have an advantage over lower levels, right? Or would they set a top level like level 100? This could also mean that PvE characters you want to take to PvP would not be possible. I mean, they could have groupings like levels 20 to 30, 31 to 40, etc., but surely that's a hell of a lot more server districts to accommodate all of the different levels. I was wondering your thoughts on this. Good work, Lord Zaya.
Well, you know, this reminds me, remember when Guild Wars first came out and we had the different arenas?
The different arenas, yeah. There was like an arena for like levels like up to level 8. You could go to the Ascalon Arena.
They had the one in Rock.
There's the Shiver Peak one. Yeah. So they based it like by your level so that you didn't have level 5s going against level 15s. But then people also, they would like give special equipment to their lower level characters to try to like be better than everybody else. It was just kind of stupid.
Yeah. I remember that's when I had my Necro was brand new back then, and I got her a run all the way to get her 15k armor, and then I went back and I went to those arenas with 15k armor, and people are like, "Oh my god, look at that armor!" You know, I thought I was all cool. But yeah, I think if they were going to do that, they would. I guess that would be an option, and you know, they've done it before. I don't know why they stopped doing that actually, but well, actually, because they made the Battle Isles.
Yeah.
But as far as making certain arenas for certain levels, they've done it before.
For a while, you couldn't even access those old arenas. But now, I've been able to get into some of them that I hadn't had on my map before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I was doing a little bit of mapping just, like, of some towns when I was, like, really, really bored. And I was like, hey, I can access the Ascalon Arena. I didn't think I had ever been there before.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I knew you could go there if you already had it unlocked from before, but...
Right, but I didn't think I had it on my map with that character and then went into it, so...
So, he's asking also about, well, I guess you said that episode, let's say, Guild Wars 2 spoiling the whole experience?
Oh, my the point I was trying to make was that, Guild Wars is kind of like in a class of its own, and if... it's made more towards a level-based game, then it would really change Guild Wars to not be what Guild Wars has always been. Because one of the cool things is that it's since it's so skill-based, it's like being level 20 kind of really doesn't matter, and it pretty much everyone is level 20. So your skill and ability in it is not based upon how many hours you've spent grinding mobs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the key features of the game when it first came out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to worry about all
that. Yeah, because it was like, you know, they wanted to cater to, you know, people who could wanted to play a lot or people who only had, like, an hour or two, you know, every few days, you know? So everybody could play together. One of the annoying things is when, like, you've got an MMO and you've got, like, one person who's level 20 and somebody else who's level 45, and they don't want to play together because they're not going to get experience in the same areas. It's like... So then it's, like, hard to play with your friends. But in Guild Wars, it's so much easier because you're usually all on the same page.
Yeah,
it's not too difficult to get there.
Yeah. That's a good point, because you don't really think about that when you're in Guild Wars. You're just, like, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's pretty much, for the most part, level 20, and it's not... You don't worry about level...
Right. Or if, like, you're on one side of the map, let's say I'm in Fort Rannoch, and you're sitting over in getting ready to go into DOA. So you're, like, way far away from me. And you say, hey, we need another person. I could be like, sure, no problem. 3 clicks and I'm there. Mm-hmm. Rather than having, like, this is a whole different issue. But having, like, a map where you have to travel, like, okay, let me hire a ship and sail over to Alona. It'll probably take me about 10 minutes, but I'll be there. Is that okay?
Yeah.
But that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. I think MMOs are getting away from that anyway, but... That's a giant pain.
But yeah, it's really easy for... another person to, like, jump into your party in Guild Wars because you're usually all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, let's see, PvP at different levels. Do you know very much about PvP in different games, how that works? Are they usually all the same level, or...?
No. Like, in Tabula Rasa, you can't attack anyone who's 10 levels lower than you.
Okay.
If you're in a PvP clan... And I think that's a pretty fair way of doing it. I think World of Warcraft has something similar. I'm not positive.
Mm-hmm. Like they have to be within a certain number of levels.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
How is Lord of the Rings Online?
I don't know if there's level restrictions on dueling, like individuals, but the PvP area, you have to be level 40, I think it is, and then you can go into the PvP area.
Oh, okay.
So, all the people who use their PvE characters and go in, they're anywhere from level 40 to 50.
Oh.
If you create a character which is on the enemy side, like the monster side, your character is automatically created at level 50.
Oh.
So there's only a 10-level difference. But you also have to, like, worry about your gear and stuff like that, which is something that you don't have to worry about in Guild Wars PvP.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? They haven't really officially said anything about if there's going to be a level cap or if there's going to be an unlimited level cap or what, you know, with Guild Wars 2. So anything we say right now would just be speculation anyway. But hopefully if they do something like that where they have a much higher level than 20 and then they have to deal with PvP, hopefully they will do something like that within 10 level range or you have to be a certain level to even get into PvP or, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, one of the things about Guild Wars is that they kind of established really early on that it didn't really matter what level you were. Mm-hmm. Because, like, when we're playing through Prophecies and you get out of the desert and you just start the Southern Shiver Peaks, right? You're level 20, and in most games, it's kind of like you reach max level, and that's it. You're done, right? But you reached level 20, and then there was still, like, a whole bunch of missions still to do. It was like, the game's not over.
Yeah.
So it kind of already set you up with the mindset that just because you reached the level cap, the game's not over yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always find it funny when people are like, yeah, I just got to level 20, and so now I'm done with the game. It's like, wait, what? Not even close. So for this next one, it says, hey Sean, just wanted to thank you for the show. I just recently bought Prophecies and I love it. I want to get my character up to the point where I can go to the other continents before I get factions and or Nightfall. I'm generally a PvE player, but the PvP setting has spiked my interest, so we'll see where that goes. My biggest question is this. How important is belonging to a guild? With life and kids and the fact that I have a job that is crazy busy right now, I'm not able to play very much, and I don't want to do the research to find a good guild and find a group of people who aren't jackasses, and then only be able to log in once or twice a week, and that's on good weeks. It seems that at the early stage of the game, post-searing Ascalon City, that a guild is not necessarily that important. But you're the guy who's the expert, so what are your thoughts on it? Thanks, Stuart.
Okay, Mr. Expert, tell us.
Yeah, well... That's one of the, like we were just talking about, that's one of the great things about this game is that you don't have raids where you have to, you know, dedicate 8 hours of your day for it and stuff like that. So there's a lot of you know, you have a life and kids. I think that's pretty common. I think, we actually just talked about this.
It is?
Well, it's funny, you know, we just talked about this in, you know, My God, Real Life, somebody wrote in with a really similar question, but I'll give the same answer basically. There's a lot of people like that, where you have kids and a family and everything like that, and there are guilds out there who understand that, and you can get in one of these guilds, and, you know, if you're out in a group with one of them doing a quest or a mission, and you say, you know, I'll be right back, one of the kids is, you know, throwing up everywhere, it won't be a big deal. You can tell them I'll be right back, and then they'll understand, because they have kids themselves. Or, you know, just the fact that they might just be understanding just in general. Not even, they don't even have to have kids. But, you know, you're asking how important it is to belong to a guild. That all depends on how you want to play. You know, if you want to solo, and you're not really too concerned with the end game, which I think the end game really, you really need a guild. Then, you know, you could do everything with Heroes and Henchy. You'll be fine. Although you don't have Nightfall yet, so you don't have the heroes. You're missing out. Get Nightfall.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know how many guilds out there are like that. I'm sure there's tons. But, like, my guild, we're mostly all adults, and a lot of them are family people. So, you know, there'll be people who just, like, say, hey, I'll be back in a couple hours. I have to, like, put my kids to sleep and stuff, and then I'll be able to play. You know, I mean, I think everybody kind of understands that. Unless you're into, like, a super hardcore elite mission guild or, you know, doing halls or something like that. Even when, like I'm doing HA with friends and I have to go AFK, it's like they're not, like, they don't freak out over it and go, like, oh my god, kicker, get another monk.
But there are plenty of guilds out there who would be like that, and it's a shame.
Yeah, so it really, I think it is important to have a guild, because otherwise it's harder to find people to play with, and if you want to just play solo all the time, you can. And the game is made so that it is possible to go through the game just by yourself. But it's usually easier, especially if you're a new player, to have a guild where you can just ask silly questions like, what'll happen if I put these two different runes on my armor? And they can tell you. It's like...
Yeah. And one of the things, how Guild Wars was developed, was you don't have a monthly fee, which we all know. So if you want to play solo, you don't have to worry about it. Like, if you have a game where you pay a monthly fee and you just play solo throughout the whole thing, don't you feel like you'd be wasting your money? Like, you'd be like, you know, I could have just bought a normal one-player game and just been playing, you know, like that.
No, I would, like, if I wanted to just play single-player, I would just go, like, buy another RPG or play Oblivion or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I pay for an online game for the reason of socialization. I mean, sometimes you want to just play and don't talk to me. I'm having a bad day and I just want to kill stuff. But, you know, I mean, for the most part, I think pretty much everybody plays to have some kind of social interaction.
Yeah. And let me tell you, the game, when you get into a guild, and it's going to take a while if you're new to this game, which sounds like he is, once you get to that point where you start developing friends and friendships and people in the guild who you want to play with every day, it just completely changes the game. You know, I know plenty of people who don't even really play as much, mm-hmm. and they just come into the game to socialize and do things that they don't even necessarily need. Like, they don't need to do this mission to advance their character, but they're doing it with the rest of the guild because they like the interaction with their friends. And once you get to that point, it just completely changes the game. So if you're looking for something like that, that's a great reason to have a guild.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that games like this have such a long lifespan, mm-hmm. is that, I mean, there's people who just, there have been plenty of times I've stood in the guild hall and been like, I haven't moved from the spot in an hour and a half, and all you're doing was chatting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
And I mean chatting with, like, you know, about, like, nothing important, not, like, answering PMs from Guildcast listeners.
What? I never do that. What? No, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, though, yeah. And, you know, he says he doesn't want to go out and research to find a good guild and all that.
I have a good guild. Email me.
Here you go, right there.
I'm not a jackass, I don't think. Okay, want me to read the next one? It seems to me that farming has been seriously nerfed. I'm interested on your take on how an average solo character can make enough gold to buy a full set of 15k armor. I too frown upon buying gold online, but seriously, my friend and I have been trying to keep honest, and after 2 months, we have just enough for only one full set of 15k armor and decent weapons. We're both experienced players, level 20, really, if they counted level 35 or so, who have finished Prophecies and started Nightfall. Nightfall helps a little with including gold in quests, but it's measly 200 to 500 gold each quest. So how's an honest player who doesn't want to spend countless hours waiting and waiting in trade chat for people to buy your stuff supposed to make money? Seriously, trading is, in my opinion, he's just rants about trading. Please don't go into hypotheticals such as, well, in Guild Wars 2.0, they're going to have an auction system, etc. I, as an honest player, want to know how to make decent gold in the game now, in the games we already have. Your input is greatly appreciated. Love the podcast. Shout me out. The character name is the tastiest teabag. And notice it doesn't say the teabag with, like, milk added into it. That's just gross. Sorry, Bard.
Yeah, that was a recent topic on the forums, right?
Yes. Well, okay, so he's saying they've been playing Prophecies. Now, unfortunately, in Prophecies, the amount of gold you make just from playing the game is not very much. However, when you start going further in Nightfall, it says they just started that, you pick up a lot of items that are just worth... They don't seem like they're worth very much, but when you sell them all to the merchant, it adds up really quickly. So just continue playing in Nightfall, and you'll start getting to areas where there's more items that you can sell. And I'm talking about selling them to the merchant, not standing around in chat just trying to sell them to people.
Plus, you know, this is something we've talked about 400,000 times, but it's just huge. A lot of people, it's a really big concern for a lot of people. That's why we're mentioning it again. But we've talked about the auction houses. I mean, not the auction house, the Guild Wars Guru auctions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something if you don't want to, don't want to sit around and sell things, you can always do that on the website at Guild Wars Guru. And there's that, and then there's also just the fact that you pick up everything you find and merchant it, you know, just sell it. I don't really find it that hard to get money in this game, especially if you're always playing and you're always doing things. You don't really shoot for things like the missions, as, you know, like you said, you only get a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand gold. If you do things in hard mode now, that's a whole nother way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get more money in hard mode for completing the missions, plus you get more money from the, from each monster that you kill. So that's an option also.
Yeah, but I think the best way to make decent gold in the game now is to play in the later areas of Nightfall. And it doesn't even have to be super far into the game. But like even like midway, you start picking up items, you just sell them to the merchant, and you get plenty of gold back. And then it just accumulates really fast, because since you don't really have to pay for a lot of stuff, maybe your biggest expense will be ID kits and salvage kits, mm-hmm. when you are not worrying about buying armor or anything like that. So that's not very much. You'll make that money back really quickly.
Yeah, and plus, it seems like his main concern is buying 15k armor. So what I would do also is research what materials you need for that 15k armor, and there are going to be rare materials in there also. Figure out what common materials make up the rare materials, how they can be crafted like that. Do all that research and everything, and then get an expert or a superior salvage kit. And just salvage everything you need and hang on to the stuff that you're going to need to work towards your armor. Because if you have to go out and buy the materials, that's a huge expense right there. That's a big part of your expense for 15k armor. So if you just play it smart and, you know, you collect the materials without buying them, and then you just save up the money for the rest, it's really not that difficult.
But it's cheaper to, like, for instance, I don't know about now, I haven't looked, but it used to always be cheaper to just salvage and get steel rather than try to craft it.
All right, so this next one says, hey, doesn't say Sean or Lady Sinea. Hey, I contacted you a while ago to ask if you could do a show explaining some of the scams that ArenaNet missed. You said to tell you if there's any scams that you haven't heard of, and I have one that I came upon that I don't think you mentioned. Some of the guild leaders that use Vent may have a different motive for using it rather than TeamSpeak purposes. As the host of a server, you have the option of checking people's IP addresses. Certain free websites let you translate those addresses to real-life addresses. The only reason I say this is to protect the people who don't know about this. One of my guildies actually got contacted by the mail from one of his previous guild leaders. Luckily for him, that guild leader wasn't mean and stopped contacting him, but there are the people who would use your address for other reasons. If you wouldn't mind mentioning this on one of your upcoming shows, that'd be great. Thanks for your reply, Kaidane Longshot.
Dude, I'm never talking to anyone on Vent again.
Yeah, see, I think he's, I mean, he's got a point. It's not hard to see an IP address. If you own a forum, you can see everybody's IP addresses. I mean,
if you're like an administrator on forums, you can see what IP addresses people log in at.
Yeah.
Logging from.
The fact that there's websites that can translate that, it's not specific. You can't get a house address from an IP. Can you? I don't think
That's what he's saying you can do.
I don't think so. I'd like to hear from some people and tell me if that's true or not. Cause I think the IP is for your, I mean, that's the IP of your internet provider, not your.
Yeah, it's not going from your house. Yeah, unless you're like running a server from your house. But
yeah. Yeah, that would be. Yeah.
That would be different. You would already have a whole bunch of security around that, you know?
Yeah, hopefully. But, I thought I'd read this just in case it's, in case that is possible, I guess, and just kind of let people know about it.
I mean, I would just say, I mean, your IP gets tracked all the time when you're on websites and stuff. So it's kind of like, it's not something you can really prevent other people from finding. But, I mean, in general, you know, don't give out personal information to people you don't know.
I mean, you can get a phone book and open it up and find anybody's address. You know, easier than this. I guess if you made somebody mad in game and they wanted to, I don't know, they're completely crazy. I don't know. Yeah, don't watch out for that. But
you might wake up one day and have like rock formations in your front yard that says, "I own you." Hi, Sean. You may remember me, or you may not, as the person who messaged you in game. Yeah, there's no one who ever does that. And said that I just started listening to the show, and I had fallen asleep during the RIT show. I do not want you to take this the wrong way, however, because being so busy with practicing two instruments, playing Guild Wars, and doing real-life things, I can only listen to it in bed. And when I was listening to that particular show, it happened to be around midnight, and I could hardly stay awake. I do not want you to take it that you and Sinea are boring, because you aren't. I love listening to the show. You are doing a great job. Okay. So he takes Sean to bed with him. And
and you.
No, this email's to Sean. But you bore him to death. Okay. I am a noob and only have prophecies and factions campaigns, but I'm planning to get the last two with the great in-game store deal by Christmas. But being a noob, I have a question. Sometimes when I use an expert salvage kit on a salvageable item, it being of any color, even white, and my salvage kit only has about 3 uses left, it stops salvaging and I have to go sell it to the merchant and buy another one. Do you know what's going on? Thank you so much for doing the show. I really appreciate it. It has helped me out a lot being a player of only just over a month. I didn't even know you could mix dyes before I got to your dye episode. Keep up the good work, Sean and Sinea. I hope to see you in game. Call me Wes. P.S. Do you think I could get mentioned on your next show? Yes, he just did. Oh, he's listening to all the shows right now. He said he's up to episode 65, but he wants to hear his name on the show.
I like the last PPS.
PPS about the explicit show. I don't mind. I just, what?
You just deleted that off the podcast list. That's awesome.
Sean, stop swearing so much. Oh my God.
I'm a horrible influence.
Jeez. But I've never heard that. That's some kind of bug with the salvage kit. It should work all the way until you have one use left, you use it, and it should disappear from your inventory.
Yeah, I've never heard of that either. But I'd be curious to know if anybody else has come across that too. It's kind of interesting. Especially if you, well, it says he only has 3 uses left. I'd be really mad if I had like 99 uses left.
Yeah.
If I had a superior.
But no, if it says 3 still on it, you should still be able to use it 3 more times, and then it should disappear.
Yeah. So, in other words, we don't know what's going on.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so should we go ahead and get into the nitty-gritty of this episode?
Sure.
Well, let's see. I don't have a speech prepared. I probably should have.
speech.
Well, as a lot of people know, the people who are in, at least in the Guild and in the Alliance, a couple days ago, I mentioned that the Guild was going to be shutting down in a week from Sunday, which...
You didn't mention that you're talking about the Guildcast Guild.
Yeah, the Guildcast Guild, yeah, and the Guildcast Alliance and everything. And this is for the, you know, the people who are in there, in that Guildcast Guild now. I let them know the other day. But I didn't really explain why I'm disbanding. I'm disbanding the guilds, both guilds, because there's two Guildcast Guilds, and I'm disbanding the Alliance. And I wanted to give people enough notice so that they can go out and find a new guild, or so that they can, which I imagine will happen more often than not, where people will kind of get together and form their own new guilds from the friendships that they've made in the guild and everything. And that's one of the biggest things I recognize, is the fact that this guild has been around for almost 2 years, and a lot of people have developed friendships in it. You know, we've been through thick and thin in this guild, and it's been great. And, you know, I'm really sorry that I have to do it like this, that I have to break up the guild like this. I know it angered a lot of people. I've already gotten some pretty not nice emails about it. But I realize that it's mainly because I didn't explain anything. Well, let me explain. The reason this guild is breaking up like this is because it's part one of the complete end of Guildcast.
Gasp.
Yeah. Let me just rest here for a second while you all gasp. No, Guildcast will be ending in late February. And the Kanuga conference that will be going on in Chattanooga, Tennessee will be the finale. What I did actually is I let the people know who already said that they would be attending. I let them know first. I let them know about this last week, just because I want to make sure that the people who may have already bought tickets, or the people who have already bought plane tickets, or, you know, there's people coming from quite a ways away. I want to make sure how they felt about this first, because they're the ones that I was really concerned about upsetting. But as a general consensus, most of the people have said, you know, hey, it'll be great. It'll be a finale. We can all get together. You know, we can have some drinks or whatever, you know, whatever we're going to do. And it'll be great. It'll be like we're celebrating something that's been going on for 2 years. And that's exactly, I'm so happy that the people who saw it that way, because that's exactly how I wanted to see it. I would encourage other people, if they want to come to this, it's at Kanuga.com, Kanooga.com. If you want to go, come out and see me and...
Me?
Yeah, yeah, if you want to come out and see us, and you want to just one last time, just have fun together, it'll just be a finale. It'll be a grand finale. And I think it'll be a great thing. I don't think it should be a sad thing at all. People have said that they would see it as a sad thing. I mean, of course it would be sad, but that's why I'm announcing it now, 2 months in advance, because maybe we can get that sadness out of the way. And then once February comes, it's February 22nd, then that'll be, you know, it'll be a time to celebrate and a time to look back at the over two years. And by that time, it'll be almost 2.5 years that we've been doing Guildcast.
I think it'll be a great trip. Our last one in San Francisco, we didn't even like record anything because we had so much fun just hanging out and doing stuff together.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, I think since we'll be at a convention too, we'll probably be like geeking out over Star Trek stuff. and like not even worrying about like podcasting at the time, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's just a good get together. And it'll just, we don't have to sit around and say, you know, sing kumbaya about the end of Guildcast.
it's not going to be like a wake, like somebody died or anything, you know.
Yeah. And I imagine for the next while, I'm going to get a lot of emails, and a lot of the forums are probably going to be ablaze with you know, both sides of the fence. I'm not really anticipating more of negative or positive. But I just want to let everyone know that the reasons I'm doing this. And there's quite a few reasons, actually. But the main ones, number one, I've been doing this for a long time. Saneya has been doing this with me for a long time also. You know, we've been doing this a long time. In the age of podcasting, we've done this more than most podcasts last. You know, most podcasts last about 10 shows, they get bored of it, and they stop. Especially gaming podcasts, because gaming podcasts, you have to stay dedicated to one game, and you have to know that game inside and out, because people constantly ask you questions, and they treat you like a kind of a guru, because they expect you to know what you're doing, what you're talking about. And I've put myself into that position as the style that I do the show, you know, where I do it kind of like an informative show. And that has been great. It has been, you know, something that I never would have imagined. I never would have imagined that I would be the one that people would look up to for questions. And I always, especially, you know, the first year, I would, you know, people would ask me a question and I would go research it for them and figure it out. Well, of course, after a while, I get to the point where I'm like, well, why don't you go look for it yourself? which isn't, you know.
www.guildwiki.com.
But I just want people to know that there's that aspect of it. I've just been doing it for a long time. There's also the aspect that Guild Wars 1 is coming to an end, and while there's still tons of stuff I could talk about, I still have a lot of ideas for shows that I could have done. So it's not that. It's not that I'm running out of ideas, nothing like that. But I just think that with Guild Wars 2 on the horizon, that's something that we're looking forward to now. And I think even though, you know, ArenaNet will not stop doing Guild Wars 1, my interest in the game has honestly, to be perfectly honest, has diminished a lot in the last few months. And I don't know really what it's all about. It happened way before Tabula Rasa. So I'm sure people are going to be saying, oh yeah, Tabula Rasa, you know, took Sean away. It did in a way, but I think if Tabula Rasa never came out, I would probably be playing something else, like even Lord of the Rings Online, because even before Eye of the North came out, I was losing interest. I never finished Eye of the North. Whenever I've played for the last 3-4 months, it's been with friends, and it's been helping them through the game, and it's been helping guildies and things like that. I haven't really advanced any characters. I have not touched a bonus mission yet. And I understand there's other people out there like that too, but I'm supposed to be the one who is supposed to know this game inside and out so that I can report it back to you. And I can't do that. I can't fake that if I'm not 100% passionate about this game like I have been for so long. And that's probably my biggest concern. I wouldn't think it would be fair to people for me to be the one saying, you know, do this, try this out, because I know a lot of people respect my opinion. And I can't really give an opinion anymore if I'm not 100% passionate anymore.
Yeah. I did one of the bonus missions. I did the White Mantle one. And it was awesome because I got to kill, like, a whole bunch of char. But I felt really dirty after doing it because, one, I had to be an ugly Crichton dude. And then, two, I had to enlist the help of the Mersot. So it was, like, I wasn't really sure if the ends justified the means, and I also kind of felt a little bit resentful that ArenaNet was kind of like, I felt like they were setting me up to be Crichton, and that's just, I just can't handle it, and I was like going to have a breakdown about it, but try to be strong. But no, seriously, we had kind of a discussion about this last year, and when you were thinking about ending the show. And I kind of thought, like, well, we haven't really run the whole course of it yet, you know? And I kind of talked you back into it and said, well, why don't we just, like, do a show whenever we want, you know? And that was when the show had gone from its every week schedule to a kind of more lax schedule. And then it ended up being, like, every other week, mm-hmm. right? So we ended up still being on that deadline kind of thing. And it's weird when you start, like, if you're a blogger or a podcaster, you know what we're talking about, where you make these self-imposed deadlines, and suddenly you have, like, all this work you have to do. Yep. And even though you enjoy it, and you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't like doing it, you still end up with, like, this whole new job you have to handle.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was, like, really stressing out this past week because I'm about to go on my trip, and I was going, like, I have so much work to do. And it didn't even have to do with, like, my regular work. I had some stuff to do, but, like, I had to make sure I had a Ringcast done. I was like, I have to find some time to record with Sean. I was like, you know? So it's, I mean, we really enjoy it, but it's, there's a lot to consider when it's like, we put a lot of hours into just a 1 hour show, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And that's another thing, you know, you're talking about last year. Last year, I wanted to, we talked about quitting and it seems.
And I talked you back into it because I said, no, don't let go yet.
Yeah. But it seems funny to me now thinking about quitting then because at the time I wanted to quit because I wanted to play Guild Wars more. I wasn't into that rut yet. Like, actually, Brent just talked about this recently. I think it was on Virgin Worlds. It might have been on a different show, but Brent was saying that he has just accepted the fact that doing a podcast every week is part of his schedule, and that's it. There's no, you know, it's like eating and getting dressed. It's just one of those things that you just do. And I've gotten into that rut, which has been good. It's been really good, especially in the last year. But last year at this time, when I wanted to quit, I wasn't in that rut. I wanted to stop doing a podcast so that I could play the game, and that was the thing. Well, this year it's completely different. It's this year I'm not. It's not because I don't have enough time, because I do have enough time. It's not because I want to play the game more. It's just the fact that, you know, exactly like I said, all those reasons I said. Plus, for podcasting, it's kind of a strange little thing where it's still in its infancy. It's been, what, four years now since podcasting came out. And it's one of those things where a lot of people do it mainly for two reasons. There's the people who do it because they're really passionate about the subject, and then there's the people who do it because it's their job, because they get paid to do it. And
no, the former is, those shows are usually so much better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and once you get to the point where you're one of the people who are actually being paid for the show, it just seems different. You know, I think they're on opposite ends of the spectrum, those two types of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like it would be fair to anybody for me to act or, you know, fake it that I'm 100% into this game and everything like I used to be. But now let me just say, I don't want to get anybody the wrong impression. I don't think this is a bad game. I'm not saying this game is bad. I'm not saying it's going, you know, down the tubes or, you know, a lot of people are saying that. I don't think, that's not the issue. I think this game is still great. I still love the game. I'm sure after a little break, I'm going to come back to the game as much as I was before.
That's usually what I tell people when they're burnt out. They say, I'm burnt out on playing Guild Wars. I've done all this stuff, and I don't have anything to do. And I say, well, it sounds like you've just been playing too much. Just take, like, a whole month off and go read a book or go outside or something or, you know, whatever. And
yeah.
Then usually they go, oh, that was fun. Now I'm itching to play Guild Wars again. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, kind of like that. And then, like, you know, people's interest gets renewed and dissipates. A lot of people in my guild are like that. They'll be around for, you know, several weeks and then they'll get kind of bored and then leave. And then they'll be, like, inactive for a little while and then they'll come back and be like, hey. And the cool thing about Guild Wars is you can just jump back in.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
it's no big deal that you've been gone for so long.
Well, see, for me, though, I don't really have that option, or I didn't really have that option, where if I wanted to take a break for a couple months, I really couldn't, because I had this obligation that I felt, and again, it's a self-imposed obligation, that I feel like I have an obligation to the listeners to keep them up to date on the very new, you know, the latest and the most correct information and everything.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately, I felt like that, too, because when we had the preview on Eye of the North, I was just like, okay, I have to play Eye of the North all weekend just so I can, like, be able to talk about it and say what I know about it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like we're, we started getting to the point where we were playing more for the show rather than playing for ourselves, which is really... Yeah. I always tell people, play the game because you enjoy it and you have fun, not for any other reasons.
Exactly. That's a great point. Because that's what I was doing for a long time.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, you know, last show will be,
It's going to be episode 100. I don't care what you say about time. I will do six episodes about why Ascalon owns all of you noobs or assassins from Cantha. Just so we can have 100 shows.
Well, I'm going to keep you to that because there's no way I personally am going to get out another 10 shows in 2 months. But regardless of what number it is, I'm not too concerned about that. But I know a lot of people, actually, Ashdy said that too. He's like, it's got to be 100 shows. It's got to be right on 100. And we'll see how that works out. But regardless, the last show is going to be a recording after Canuga. It's going to be a recording that we do at Canuga. And this time, darn it, I'm going to record something. And it'll just be, you know, just kind of a reflection on Guildcast, what it's been like. And I'll be able to explain a little bit, you know, about what I'm going to be doing. Because that's another thing. I want to mention that, too. I'm not quitting podcasting. This isn't the last time you're going to see Sean. I have the other two podcasts I do, which aren't going anywhere. And then I have actually another project I'm working on, which is an audiobook. And it's a, they're actually called Podio books, which I, sounds too much like potty, but it's a,
snicker, snicker.
Yeah.
That'll make all the 14-year-olds laugh.
But it's something I've been working on for a long, long time. Here and there, and I've just really gotten into it and really gotten serious about it, and I'm going to release it probably within the next few months or so. And it's like a sci-fi book, and it's something that I'm really excited about. So that's one of the projects I'm working on aside from, you know, the other things I'm working on too. Like I said, this isn't the last you're going to see of me. Wahaha.
This isn't the last that you've seen of Sean. But yeah, I think it's kind of cool because Guildcast, we've always had it very structured.
Yeah.
We've always talked just about the game and about nothing else. Mm-hmm. Like episode 50 was the only time pretty much that we've really talked about ourselves at all. And it was pretty in passing, you know?
Yeah.
But with the other shows we've been doing, we've had a chance to kind of expand. Like on Ringcast, I usually talk mostly about the game and updates and things like that, but I also talk a little bit about myself, which kind of like it makes it a little less structured. And so there might be people, in one way, I've always prided the fact that on Guildcast, we don't moan about ourselves and talk about a bunch of crap like people usually do.
And we don't get drunk.
We don't get drunk and talk about, like, how we didn't know what we did last night, you know, and, and oh, I had a cold yesterday, and you're, like, listening to all this crap, and you're, like, okay, when are you going to get to the subject matter, which is why I actually listen to your stupid show, you know? So I've always thought the Guildcast was pretty cool in that sense, you know?
Yeah, and you told me yourself when you started Ringcast or when you took over Ringcast that you were going to kind of structure it after Guildcast in a way. And mm-hmm. to me, that's the most flattering thing in the world. And I know other people have said that they're doing that too with other podcasts that they've made. And I don't follow all those podcasts, but so I don't know how they're doing now. But to me, that's hugely flattering because of the fact that I came on fairly early in podcasting and to know that I was influential in the way other people do podcasts, even as far as, you know, having themes with music that's different for every show or, you know, I didn't invent this stuff, but, you know, it kind of integrated it into podcasting. But just to know that other people are doing that because of how they heard me do it, that's huge. That's all I could ever ask for. You know, that's just amazing.
Yeah. You definitely should be proud because you've found things that work. And so, as a result, I haven't had to go research how to do new podcasting techniques because I've been doing this for almost 2 years now too. So it's like I've, you know, watched you and everything and it's been good.
Yeah, and with Ringcast now you know the other side of it, with the actual production side of it and everything.
Mm-hmm. But another thing that I've done is made sure that I don't hold myself to a deadline. And as a result, I think my numbers fail a little bit because people don't know, like, oh, we're going to get a show every other Monday. You know, we're going to get a show every Sunday or something. Unfortunately, people don't know that. I kind of go, oh, dang, it's been 20 days since my last show. I guess I ought to record something, you know. But as a result, it keeps it okay and fresh for me. And I don't get, like, sick of doing it, like, oh, now I have to record a show. Jeez, you know, this is more work for me.
Yeah. Well, I think we pretty much covered everything. But let's not, I don't want people to think that the next however many shows we're going to do, Lady Sinea says 10, but we'll see how that works. But I don't want people to think that these last shows are going to be just a drag and they're going to be like, yeah, I got to talk about Guild Wars now. Because I'm still into it. I just don't, you know, there's just got to be an end sometime. And, you know, we're just preparing for that.
That's right. Episode 100.
But, you know, I just want people to stay upbeat about it. And I want to, I'll still take some suggestions for the topics of the last few shows, you know, because that's still up in the air. There's a few branches that I haven't finished, like the different races. Still have a couple more of those to do for the Island of the North. So, I just don't want this to be a depressing episode here. I don't want it to really depress people. I want people to be just glad of what the last 2 years have been, you know. So, I guess we'll just go ahead and wrap this show up now, and I hope everyone can understand and not be angry and write me horrible emails. Be nice, please.
What's that saying for hate mail? Send it to Brent at Bridgefields.com.
I've just recently changed my email. It is now Brent at virginworlds.com. Poor Brent.
Now, if you get heavily into Guild Wars 2, you promise me that you'll call me for episode 101?
Well, you know, somebody actually asked me that. They said, would you do a Guild Wars 2 podcast? Somebody who knows that I'm stopping this. And I said, I don't know. You know, it's a possibility. I would have to see. Actually, I'd love to get into the beta. I don't know if that's going to be possible, but I would like to see what the game is going to be about before I can say I'm going to do a podcast about it. You know, I think that's only fair.
That's why I put the stipulation on it. I said, if you get into Guild Wars 2.
Oh, yeah, you'll be on there. As long as you don't mind me setting deadlines for you again and reminding you.
Jeez.
I know how much you hate that. But, yeah, I guess that's about it. The website and the forums where you can vent on me are at guildcast.com/forum. You can email me at shawn@guildcast.com. And, oh, that's another thing I want to mention real quick. The guildcast.com, for all the people who have contributed and got the guildcast.com forwarding email addresses, that's going nowhere. I'm not taking guildcast.com down. That's going to be, I just renewed it for 2 years, actually, last month. So the Guildcast website, the Guildcast episodes will still be up for at least 2 years as sort of an archive. Everything else, I guess I'm going to play it by ear. You know, the Guild is coming down for sure. The Guild forums are coming down for sure. The podcast forums, I'm not sure about. We're going to play that by ear and see how long. It may eventually come down, though. And then there's things like the wiki. I don't really know. You know, I'd have to talk to the people who actually maintain that right now, because that's not me. So all that, you know, guildcast.com will be around for a while still, even though the podcast won't. But you can email me there, or you can email me on the forums. And also Lady Sinea is ladysinaea@gmail.com, or you can email her on the forums.
Okay, well, I guess that about wraps it up for us. He's Sean, I'm Lady Sinea. And until next time, tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.
See you.